Paul's letters, Romans through Philemon, 13 books that he wrote, are books that give us the doctrine, the salvation, the practice for the church, the body of Christ. So we need to prayerfully consider, we need to consider what Paul says. And we need to consider it, as I said, prayerfully and scripturally. You know, one of the verses that I always think about in relation to this is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 37. You know, generally, if you're going to hear anybody, if anybody's going to try to discount Bible teaching, they're generally going to try to do that toward Paul's doctrine, toward Paul's teaching. I've had people ask me, well, wasn't some of Paul's teaching just his opinion? I've never had anybody ask me, wasn't Peter's teaching some of his opinion? Wasn't John's teaching just his opinion? Never had that question. But I have had people say, well, wasn't Paul's preaching and teaching, wasn't that just his opinion? Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now that's tremendously important, particularly when you compare that with 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, he says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising. And if you read the whole context of chapter 6, you'll see that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are the words given through the Apostle Paul. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ given through him. And that's why that verse back in 1 Corinthians is so important. If any man be spiritual, a prophet, or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you not are the suggestions, not my opinions, but they are the commandments of the Lord. The words given through the Apostle Paul are words that we need to take heed to, as we need to take heed to all the Bible, but there are some specific things that Paul says that we need to understand in order to properly understand why we believe in following Paul, or we believe in putting the emphasis on Paul's doctrine that we do. The first one, obviously, is very simple, and that is that the Apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, I want you to get three verses. I want you to get Matthew chapter 10, I want you to get Romans chapter 11, and Romans chapter 15. Matthew chapter 10, Romans chapter 11, Matthew 10, first of all, in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth. Now, you know who he's talking about there. Everybody knows about the 12 disciples. And people know that Judas was one of those, and he fell. And in Acts chapter 2, they select Matthias to fill his position. There are those that say Paul filled that position, but he could not have scripturally filled that position. One of the qualifications was the person that had to fill the position had to accompany, had to be with the 12 all the time that Jesus went in and out among them, according to the Bible. So there are 12 disciples. Those disciples are sent forth to preach a specific message, but it's not only a specific message, it's to a specific people. Notice in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, as I said, there's two things that are very clear in those verses without question. Number one, who were they sent to? He said, go not to the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, look over in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans 11. You've got a group of men who are told not to go to the Gentiles. You've got Romans 11, a individual man, the Apostle Paul, who says in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Now, you would think that people could take those two verses of Scripture and readily see a difference, couldn't you? I mean, on the one hand, the 12 are sent not to the Gentiles, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Look over in Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15. In verse 8, notice Romans 15:8. "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Who was Jesus Christ the minister to? The circumcision. You see, people present the idea that Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry trying to get the whole world saved. And of course he did die for the whole world, but I'm talking about in his earthly ministry, the Apostle Paul specifically points out the fact that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. But notice what Paul says down there in verse 16. "That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." So it is absolutely clear, it's absolutely plain in the Scriptures, that number one, the first reason we ought to emphasize the ministry of the Apostle Paul is because Paul is our apostle. He was the one sent with the information. And it's not the man, the Apostle Paul. I mean, none of us knew him personally. We don't know, you know, all we know about him is what we read in the Bible. And it wouldn't have made any difference whether his name was Joe, David, or whatever. The fact is, his name was Paul, and he was the apostle that God chose to reveal the mystery to. And it's because of the emphasis God puts upon him that we put emphasis upon him. He is the apostle of the Gentiles. And as Paul said, he said, "I magnify mine office." And it was a magnified office, a magnified position, if you will. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is that whereas the 12, they were with Jesus Christ on a personal basis. We've looked at that in 1 John and the wonderful verses there that declare that relationship. John says, "We saw him, we heard him, and we handled him, the word of life." And so sometimes people have the idea that Paul's teachings aren't as authentic as the 12, or aren't as don't have as much validity as the teaching of the 12, because Paul was not there with him during his earthly ministry.
Well, I want you to look, if you will, to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, verse 10. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I had yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Now that's an important statement, because when you consider that the 12 were with Jesus Christ all during his earthly ministry, they were instructed by Christ, and they were obedient to Christ. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made to the fathers. He did that among the 12. The 12 went out and proclaimed exactly what Christ told them to proclaim. He told them in Matthew 24, in relation to the time after his death, he said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come." On the other hand, Paul said, "I didn't receive that which I preach from them." You see, had he received what he preached from them, then you could say that he was preaching the same thing, which is what most of the religious world wants to believe today. But he says, "I certify you, brethren," verse 11, "that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." It was very important that the Apostle Paul made known, particularly to the church here at Galatia and to the entire body of Christ, that the message he was preaching was not that kingdom message. It was not the doctrine that Christ had taught the 12. It was information that Paul received by direct revelation. Look back, if you will, in Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26. In Acts 26, Paul is giving an account of his salvation before King Agrippa. And he says there in verse 12, Acts 26:12, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." Again, the emphasis upon the Gentiles, to whom Paul is sent. Verse 18, "to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." You see, that which Paul preached, he preached by revelation. He saw the Lord revealed unto him who he was, and he said, "Paul, I want you to be a minister of the things in the which I have appeared unto thee, and the things I will appear unto thee." And so every word that Paul wrote down in this Bible that became Scripture were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and Paul received his message by revelation of Jesus Christ, not from men. And that is significant. I've always wondered why people didn't just grab hold of the fact that if Paul was going to be preaching the same message that the 12 were preaching, why is it that he didn't receive it from men, and
after Paul receives his message, you see such a difference in what is being preached and the fact that Paul is saved in Acts 9, and after Acts 15, you never hear Peter mentioned again during the whole book. Folks, the emphasis changes. The focus changes because of the ministry that's given to the Apostle Paul. Paul received his revelation directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the revelation of the mystery. And it's that information that establishes the believer today in sound doctrine, in sound practice, as members of the church, the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, that doctrine that Paul received, he said, laid the foundation for us to build upon. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul received his message by direct revelation, and the words that he preached are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ for us today. And the doctrine that was given through the Apostle Paul provides the foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you know, the Old Testament asks the question, what shall the righteous do if the foundation be destroyed? Well, I want you to notice something. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 9, Paul says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building, according to the grace of God," notice, "which is given unto me as a wise master builder." That word master builder there is a word that simply means it's like an architect. It has to do with that, or something that's from the beginning. He said, "Unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." You know, for those that preach and teach that the church started in Acts chapter 2, the question that needs to be asked is, what foundation were they building upon? I'll tell you the foundation they were building upon. It was the foundation of Peter's confession in Matthew 16, when Christ asked Peter, he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" Peter said, "Some men say you're a prophet, some Elijah," and so forth. And he says, "But who do you say that I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's apparent when you read the books of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and 1st and 2nd Peter, all those Hebrew epistles, that the issue was the Lord Jesus Christ being the Messiah sent from God. He said, "Peter, who do you think that I am?" He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Peter, that's true." And he said, "Upon that rock I'll build my church." And that church of Acts chapter 2 is built upon that confession. And that's why Peter preaches, it is through faith in his name. Listen, folks, if you build upon that foundation today and that alone, you're not going to get people saved, because simply believing that Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, will not save anybody today in the dispensation of the grace of God. They must believe the gospel Paul preached, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and raised again the third day. When I was out in Texas, I had an amazing conversation one morning. After the service, when I had preached, there was a man visiting there, and I could tell the whole time I was up there teaching that he was just gritting his teeth. He didn't like anything I was saying. And so he came up afterwards and he started asking questions. And so I told him, I said, "Would you like to get your Bible?" And he said, "No, you can read to me from yours if you want to." His was laying in a chair back there. And so he began asking me questions about what I had taught. And he said, "I don't understand why you try to make it sound as though Paul taught something different than Christ and the Twelve." And I said, "I don't have to make it sound that way. That's what the Bible says." And so I began to show scriptures. And pretty soon, crowds started gathering there. And, you know, it was a big circle around there. And we were talking, going back and forth. And believe it or not, I was able to be nice.
and remain nice and talk in a halfway, you know, level tone, which I'm not prone to do. And the man, and I asked, I told the man, I said, you know, to believe that Paul is preaching the same thing. When Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that he laid the foundation and another man built it thereupon, I said, that shows us that he was first. And I said, what I want you to do is I want you to take your Bible and show me where the gospel that Christ died for their sins, was buried and rose again the third day according to Scriptures, that they ever preached that. That Peter ever preached that before Paul got saved. He said, well, obviously Peter preached that. They all preached that. Christ preached that. I said, really? He said, why, yeah, that's what they were preaching. I said, well, then would you tell me that from Matthew 10 to Matthew 16, after he sent them forth to the Jews, are you telling me that he preached that Christ died for their sins? He said, well, sure, that's what they were looking forward to. That's what everybody in the Old Testament was looking forward to. I said, well, then let's read out of Matthew chapter 16. And I read the verse of Scripture where Jesus revealed to Peter that he was going to be crucified. And Peter said, far be it from thee, Lord. And the fellow got absolutely furious. I said, sir, there's no reason to get mad at the Word of God. I said, the fact is that there was simply a different message being preached. And he just got, I mean, he began to rant and rave, and he grabbed his stuff and headed out the back door. Now listen, folks, when things are so clear, you have to ask yourself the question, why is it that people fight against that and resist it so hard? I'll tell you why. Because of tradition. Because it goes against that which they have been taught. And you know, it is a very difficult thing. I know it was in my case. It's a very difficult thing for people in their mind to acknowledge that not only they've been wrong, but that mom and daddy have been wrong, and the grandparents may have been wrong, and all those that came before them might have been wrong. That's hard. And I understand that. And it's not that I'm right. That's not the issue. The issue is that the Word of God is clear about these things. If Paul said he laid the foundation and another man built it there, you know what the first thing that goes down is in any building, don't you? It's the foundation. That means if the church started in Acts chapter 2, they were building on no foundation. They were building upon the foundation that Paul, that Jesus said he's going to build upon when he told Peter that in Matthew 16. But the foundation Paul laid is the foundation for the church, which is his body, not that kingdom church in Acts chapter 2. The apostle Paul laid the foundation. He was the first man. And this really gets people going when you say this, even some grace believers. But I certainly believe it based on 1 Timothy 1:16. Turn there if you will. I believe that Paul was the first man ever saved in the particular manner that Paul was saved. Now you say, well, why would you believe a thing like that? Well, because he said he was. I mean, listen, folks, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck about these things, but it's what the Bible says. When Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 14, or verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, You can take the verse and dissect it and cut it up and use the Greek and Hebrew, all you want to do it. Folks, the verse says, Paul says, I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern. You know the one thing that does come before even a foundation? It's a blueprint. It's a pattern. You ladies that sow, you understand the importance of a pattern. If you're going to build something, it's always a good idea to have a pattern. I was talking about this one night, and I was talking about, man, it'd be a fool to go out and going to build a house and just, you know, start digging through it, that kind of thing. And man came up to me afterwards, and he said, well, I'd appreciate what you said. He said, that's exactly the way I built my house. Well, it's best to have a pattern. But, you know, even without the pattern, he had a foundation. But the point is that Paul said he laid the foundation, and he said that his salvation was a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You see, Paul was the first man that was ever saved in the particular manner he was, and that was simply by the gospel. Not by obedience to the law, not by believing even that Jesus Christ was, but believing that Christ died on that cross and shed his blood for sin.